John chapter number 5, our theme verse, if you would, verse 39, John 5, 39. The Bible says, search the scriptures. This is Jesus speaking. Search the scriptures, for in them, the scriptures, ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And then we have a sad verse, verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now, they had physical life. They were, okay, but we were looking at that verse, so let's just do a quick review. So I already gave you answer number one. We want to make sure. Who's speaking here? Jesus. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking specifically, when you go back in chapter 5, three or four times it says the Jews, capital J. Doesn't say he's speaking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes or the rulers. Now, they very well could have been there, but John in particular, the book of John, much more than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, uses that name, the Jews, to describe the people rather than specific groups. So Christ is speaking to a group of people. Do you remember the context? Usually if we say John 5, what's the story in John 5? It's a miracle that happened. You walk again, look back here. We're in Sunday school class, so the healing of the lame man, impotent man at the pool of Bethesda there, all right? So whether you're familiar or not with that. So getting again, we talk about searching the scriptures. We want to make sure, and we'll talk about that again, that we have the right context. We don't want to pull something out. And even I could do that. I could just say, here's our verse. I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to use it for whatever. Well, we can apply verses different ways, but we want to make sure we understand. So here in John 5, Jesus is speaking. He's speaking directly to a group of people called the Jews. The Jews are angry with him. You can go back and read the chapter. In fact, they're trying to stone him. They're upset that he has healed this man on the Sabbath. And they're upset for the fact that he came later to that man in verse 14 and said, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more. And basically, he claimed in verse 17, Jesus is saying that he's God. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And the Jews understood what he was saying. And so you've got this group of people who are very angry. They may even be holding rocks and stones. They're upset that this man, this is interesting, they're not debating that he healed the man. The man was healed. The man had been lame his whole life for 30-some years. They're not disputing that he did a miracle, but they're missing all of that. They're so upset that they believe he violated the Sabbath, which of course he did. He's God. He made the Sabbath. He says in the Gospels, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the master of the Sabbath. You're going to lecture me on the Sabbath, all right? I made it. I know what's right and what's wrong. I healed this man. That's more important. And I'm also God. My Father and I are the same, basically saying we're one. We're one and the same. And so he's speaking to them the remainder of chapter 5. And so when we read verse 39, the proper interpretation is that Jesus is speaking to these unbelieving Jews who are full of anger and rage and murder and ready to get rid of him and kill him. And he says to them, you who know the scriptures, they already know the scriptures, remember that, very religious, you need to search them. And probably they would be like, you talking to us? We're not unreligious. We're not the Gentiles. We're not the heathen. We're the Jews. Of course, we know the scriptures. You don't lecture us on the scriptures. All right? We protect and preserve the scriptures. We hold them in high esteem. But he's saying, search the scriptures, verse 39, for in them, now he's referring obviously at this point would be the Old Testament only, for in them, in the scriptures, the word of God, you're holding to the fact that you think you have eternal life. You believe that you're automatically, as Jews, God's people, seed of Abraham, protectors of the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. You don't, but you think you do. And yet the very scriptures that you hold and protect and will shout out about me, the person you're trying to kill. Search the scriptures. You're missing it. So what are we saying? What's the application for you and I? You and I can know the scriptures. We can quote the scriptures. We can love the scriptures. We can defend the scriptures. We can teach the scriptures. We can preach the scriptures. We can talk about the scriptures. We can still miss it. We can miss the truths behind the scriptures. We can even enjoy. So I really love spending time in the Bible and reading it. We're going to talk more about that. Yet we can miss God. We can miss who God is. We can miss the truths that God has. And so Christ is saying, they testify of me. They shout out of who I am. And then he says that verse 40, and you will not come to me. Notice it shows their will. You have a will and you will not come to me, that you might have life. And then, of course, at the end of the chapter, verse 46, he says, for had ye believed... Moses to the Jews. Whoa! I mean, that's like the name, maybe even higher than Abraham. Moses, the law of Moses. Moses, everything's Moses. He says, had ye believed Moses, if you really believed what was in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah, the Pentateuch, and the prophecies that speak of me, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Wow, isn't that interesting? The Lord is saying, everything there really is about me. It's all about me. I'm the Word. I'm the Creator. I'm the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. I'm the lamb that Abel brought. I'm the ark. I'm the ark, which is safety. I'm everything. I'm all of that. I'm the prophet in Deuteronomy 18. I'm the seed of Abraham in Genesis 12. I'm the seed of Judah, Genesis 48. It's all talking about me. I mean, you know that, but you miss it. Your hearts are hardened. And so as we get into this, what's the application for us today? Well, that is, it's not enough to just say, I believe the Bible's God's Word. And I enjoy reading it. I enjoy studying it. I enjoy hearing other people talk about it, or hearing the preaching. But we can become just like the Jews. We can be so familiar with it that we miss the truths that God wants to reveal to us, and we can become very steadfast in certain things that may or may not be biblical. And so we want to jump off of that about searching the scriptures. Flip back, if you would, maybe 7-8 pages to the last chapter in Luke. I think we finished here last week. Luke 24. How important are the scriptures? How important are the Old Testament and the New Testament? Let's not separate the two. Well, you know, look, the Bible is one book. It's one book. Now, it does have two sections, but it's one book. So don't do stuff like, well, this is the old, that's the old, and this is the new. No, it's the Bible. It's complete. We have the Bible. We have two parts, old and new. They work completely together in unison. They're all God's Word. Truths are found throughout it. Christ is always speaking of the Old Testament when he's speaking, pretty much, as far as in human form, because that's all there was. There would have been no New Testament books written yet. And so in Luke 24, if you remember last week, what's going on? Luke 20. You hear Luke 24. What's that? That's a chapter. That's a what chapter? Starts with an R. That's a resurrection chapter. All right. So last chapter in Matthew 28, resurrection. Last chapter in Mark 16, resurrection. Last chapter in Luke, resurrection. What about John? Yep, not John. Not the last chapter, all right? Second to last chapter. You say, what? Yeah, that last chapter in John is a little bit different. It's an extra story there that the Holy Spirit puts in. So Luke 24, when you hear the last chapter of the Gospels, we're talking about the resurrection. So Christ is resurrected. It's Sunday morning. He's alive. And people are different reactions, right? There's rumors that he's alive. Some ladies have said they saw him. The tomb was empty. Some disciples said they went in. And there's still lots of not sure what happened. And there's lots of discussion. And there's, you know. And through all of that we talked about here, we have the story in Luke 24, beginning in verse 13. You have two people. And by the way, these two people, whoever they were, Cleopas and his wife. probably a great chance it's Cleopas and his wife. We often are taught it's two men, but it doesn't say two men. It just says Cleopas, someone else. All right? And where were they when he... Well, okay, in order to go back, you've got to read chapter 24, verse 9. And the ladies come back, verse 9, and return from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the who? The 11. Who's that referring to? All right, so that's the apostles, or we could say the 12 disciples minus Judas. But notice the rest of verse 9. They told it to the 11 and to all the rest. So there were other people, there were other followers of Christ there, and that's where Cleopas and this other person are part of. So they were in this room when the ladies came back and said, the tomb is empty, the stone is rolled away. An angel said he's alive. All right? So the 11 heard it. Of course, remember, they were skeptical. They didn't believe Mary Magdalene, verse 10. All right. In fact, verse 11 says their words seemed to them as idle tales and they believed them not. So the disciples were not convinced. But what about the rest of those people? Well, out of that group of the rest, there's two that are mentioned in verse 13. Two of them, there's that same them. So two of the people who were there when the ladies came back and said that he's alive, and we're telling you, now they're walking home discussing all of this. What do you think? You think he's alive? You think he's not? You believe the ladies? You know, and so remember, Jesus joins up with them. What a fascinating story. Jesus, who's alive, joins up with them walking on the road. They don't recognize him. The Bible says, verse 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So, you know, that's an interesting verse. I don't know all that means, but there was whether the Lord did that apparently, that they just did not recognize him. You would say, well, why would they have not recognized him? He looked the same, didn't he? Didn't he look exactly pretty much the way he did before? You know, the crucifixion, he wasn't full of blood and scars. The disciples recognized him. But here was something was done intentionally. They were not blinded, but they were just not holding to know who he was. They just thought he was a random stranger. So they're walking back to their village. He asked them a casual question, verse 17. None of the Lord's questions are casual, but they seem casual. Mind if I join you? What are you guys talking about? What are you two talking about? And they, of course, probably roll their eyes. Verse 18, it says, one of them's name was Cleopas, and said, are you a stranger? Where'd you come from? All right? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? What do you mean? Everybody, there's only one topic everybody's discussing. Jesus of Nazareth. Was he even the Messiah or not? Was he the prophet? There's verse 19. I like that. The Lord just says, what things? What things? Right? Ask questions to draw things out of people. What things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was, notice the wording, was a prophet. He was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And we're talking about verse 20, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Verse 21, but we, Cleopas and friend, Cleopas and son, Cleopas and wife, we don't know. We trusted, we had hoped, we believed, trusted that it, that's Jesus, that he, if we could put it that way, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We really, really thought that he, kind of just put it in vernacular, he was the one. We thought that he was the one. We thought he was the Messiah. But we're really not sure is what they're saying. We're really not sure now because he got crucified. And that's not what we were expecting to happen. We thought that he would come as the king, right? Taking certain Old Testament verses, there are many Old Testament verses, which show the Messiah as a coming king. So they took those verses, and that's what they were looking for. But what about the other verses in the Old Testament, which show that he would suffer? Search the scriptures. Now, I'm not throwing those people down. I could probably have done the same thing, perhaps. In fact, don't we do the same thing? Don't we pick and choose verses in the Bible that we really like and love, and we claim those? I can do all things through Christ. We like the positive. All things work together for good. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun good work. We take those. But what about all the other verses of the Bible? What about the ones that say, ye shall have tribulation? Does anybody ever share that as their favorite verse? In this world ye shall have tribulation. What about all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution? Well, not, that has as much weight as all the other verses, but we sometimes... So, you know what the Jews... take all the verses that show he's the ruler, he's the king. Woo, we're looking for him. And that's what the disciples thought, and that's what many of them believe. He's going to come and set up his kingdom. He's going to get rid of the Gentiles. He's going to get rid of the Romans. And Israel's going to be back where it's supposed to be. And that's all they sort of focused on. What do you and I focus on when we read the Bible? What do we focus on? We focus a lot of times on only the things that we like or apply to us, and we like to skim over. It's like people that sometimes don't like to watch. Not, when I say movies, that can mean a lot of things. They don't want to watch all the positive ones. You know, no death, no sad stuff, the dog dies, whatever. Just keep it positive. Why? Because I don't want to think about death and sad things and things that don't end up okay. But that's reality, all right? And sometimes we read our Bibles that way. We just read the one thing. Oh, everything's always that way, and we gloss over a lot of the other things that are in the Bible, right? What happened every time Jesus tried to talk to his disciples about what was going to happen to him? The Son of Man will be... They didn't want to hear that. Remember, Peter even says, I'm taking you to the side and rebuking you. I'm going to rebuke you. Quit talking that way. That's not going to happen. They didn't want to hear about the Messiah was going to be crucified, betrayed. No. And oftentimes we get that way. No, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about that the true church is going to suffer. I don't want to hear about that if I'm going to really live godly, I'll be persecuted. I don't want to hear about that. And so the Jews, even these two, these two ladies did come back. The ladies told us that, I don't know if we believe that or not. I mean, we thought he was the one. We're not sure now because we really didn't expect for him to be killed, crucified. But now there's rumors that he's alive, but we don't really know. Can you imagine discussing this with Jesus? You're talking to Jesus. You're talking to God. You're talking to the Messiah. And he is silent the entire time. As they are talking to the living Word who's resurrected. And they just talk the whole way there. Verse 23, they even say, yeah, and they said they found not the body. They said they saw a vision of angels. I don't know. Verse 24, and certain of them, notice, which were with what? Verse 24, certain of them that were with us. Because there's people that were probably saying, Pastor Boy, you can't prove that they were in that room. Yes, I can. They were with us. Went to the sepulcher. In fact, we're just not sure right now who to believe. Now the Lord speaks, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools. That's not the same kind where we you fool. O fools. Slow of heart. Slow of heart means dull, sluggish. You ever read the Bible and you're a little dull, a little sluggish? I'm not talking about how you feel physically. We're not talking about, oh, I'm just sluggish today. I'm talking about, but slow of hearts means you're reading the scriptures, you're reading the Bible, but you're reading it slow of heart. You have dull, sluggish minds. It could be because of all the other things we let into it. I mean, slow of hearts to believe. Notice the wording of the Lord. Slow of heart to believe. What's the next word? All that the prophets, not just some of what they said. All that the prophets. Look, if you took some of what the prophets said, you're right. Much of the Old Testament talks about the second coming of the Messiah. The second coming. But not all of it says that. If you would have believed all that the prophets said, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and especially the minor prophets, which even many of us rarely read, all right, and Zechariah and the Old Testament. If you would have believed all of those things, look at verse 26. He says, here's the conclusion of what you would have learned. Ought not Christ, the Messiah, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He is lovingly rebuking them because they had the same mindset that the disciples did and many of the... If you would have carefully searched the scriptures in its entirety, you would have known and seen that that was shown. That the Christ, the Messiah, would come. He would be the seed of a woman. He would be the seed of Abraham. He would be the seed of Jacob. He would be the seed of Isaac. He would be from the tribe of Judah. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be of the lineage of the son of David. You would have seen, though, however, he would have been born of a virgin. You would have seen that he would have to go into Egypt. You would see, but you would also see the other prophecies that he came the first, he will come the first time suffering, Isaiah 53. He will come as a servant. He will come lowly. He will come in humility because he's coming the first time as the Lamb. But if you would have seen all that the prophets shown, you would have known that, he says in verse 26, that yes, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointing one, would have to suffer these things that you're talking about. He would have to gone to the cross. He would have been there and to have entered into his glory, meaning he would be resurrected. And eventually he would ascend. You would have known that. Now he's doing it lovingly. Not right in their faces, necessarily. And it says, verse 27, boy, I'd love to have been there for this. And beginning at Moses, starting in the very beginning of Genesis, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. He just as the master teacher. I mean, he's the Bible. He is the Bible. He is the Word. He takes the Scriptures and just begins, the whole rest of the trip is him speaking. It's him just probably referencing verses in Scripture, things that they knew. They knew it. I mean, they knew it. He's not telling them stuff they didn't know. But he's opening their understanding to where, it's like, hopefully that happens to you on a regular basis. I never saw that. Now it's making sense. Whoa. That's what the Lord is doing here in physical form. He is taking the entire Old Testament and is expounding and opening unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. I wonder if he did that for you and I, and we took notes today, how much of what he would tell us we never even heard before or had completely missed it. Like, well, okay, I mean, I understand maybe the picture of the ark and the tabernacle, and maybe I studied the feasts. You know, that's Old Testament stuff. and the sacrifices. I mean, you know, that stuff, is that relevant? But how much of it you think was brand new? Like, I never, that's a picture of you? That's the Messiah? I never saw that. He opens the Scriptures and all the things concerning himself. And then they finally arrive at their home, and it's dusk, it's dark, and they say, you need to stay with us. Would you eat with us? And he said, okay. And then, I don't know if they asked him to pray, but he prayed. Verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with him, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Maybe they looked at each other, and it's gone. You think they were excited? Well, we don't have to guess. We know they were. All right, how do we know that? Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Have you ever read the Scriptures and had your heart burn within you? Or has it gotten pretty old? The Scripture, I did my Bible reading today. Did not our hearts burn? Oh, whoa. I mean, he was opening the Scriptures. Our hearts were burning. It was like conviction. It was on fire. He talked with us by the way, and he opened us the Scriptures. They were so pumped. They were so excited. Verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him. And they said, look, the Lord is risen. In fact, verse 34 is the people in the room saying to them. So maybe they walk in, they're so excited, and before they can get it out, they say, look, we believe the Lord. He appeared to Simon Peter. And they said, well, no, he was with us. And then all of a sudden, boom, he scares them all and shows up again. All right. And so what's the point here? The point is this. Do we open the Bible, even if we say, well, I got to get my Bible reading in, you know, need to do that. All right. Or it's time to study. Or do we open the Bible anticipating Do we open the Bible, though, as if it's just another book? We got the Bible here. We got my Christian fiction book. I got my 100 Bible verses that made America. I've got my biography here. I've got, I mean, those are nice, but do we, sometimes we'll get more excited reading that new Christian fiction book that just came out. Or that, and it's nothing wrong with that. And reading this, nothing wrong with that either. But because the Bible, we sometimes lose that anticipation, or we just read to read. We have real no, I mean, we would chastise our children. Now, what did you do for devotions? Now, what did you learn? Oh, come on now. But many times we'll read the Bible. We're like, well, what were you reading it for? If you said, oh, that was great. You read your Bible 10 minutes. What were you reading for? What do you mean, what was I reading for? I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to read the Bible. What were you reading it to? Why, though? Because I'm almost done with this thing. Checking. I'm right here at the end. Where's it at? Oh, it's here. All right. It's right there. I mean, I'm not going to miss that. I'm 2-3 weeks away from finishing. Okay, great. What were you reading for? What were you looking for? What were you searching for? What did God show to you? What did you learn about Christ? Now, I'm not saying it's easy to do that. Things that are habit, things that you do daily, you have to, it's hard to keep fresh. It's a battle. You got to do that, diligent. But we should not just read to read, and I believe that's what the Lord is saying. Search the Scriptures. The Jews, you're always reading the Scriptures. You're talking about the Scriptures daily. You're defending the Scriptures. You're bragging over who knows the Scriptures. But you need to search them. And you need to not miss the key purpose of Scripture is to show who Christ is, to show who God is. Don't miss that. And later on, let's stay, we're in here, stay in this chapter here. Later in the chapter, as he comes back and appears to the larger group in the room, all right, again, they're still scared, even though there's been several witnesses, and you and I would be the same way. So I hope none of us are sitting there thinking, boy, I'd have believed right away. I'd have been at the tomb that morning. I don't think so. All right. And even when he comes to them, they're scared, right? But pick up the story here. Later on, we're continuing the same thing. Verse 40. And when he, Jesus, had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, because maybe they were thinking he was a ghost or a spirit. And while they yet believed not for joy, don't you love the wording there? While they yet believed not for joy. So it's like a reluctant belief, but they're not really thrilled and excited yet. They believe, but they don't really have joy. And they still are in their heart wondering, and is this really real? He said unto them, have you here any meat? Okay, you think I'm a ghost. You think I'm a spirit. I'm not. Spirits don't have flesh and blood. Spirits don't eat. You have any food? I'll be glad. I'm going to eat. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. Not a vision that you're seeing. But notice what he does next. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. I'm about to give you another lesson. And I'm going to go over the exact same stuff I told you many times while I was alive with you. And you heard it, but you didn't believe it, and it never reached here. You just went in one out. Like we say, went in one ear and out the other. You didn't really absorb what I was telling you. What is he saying? Verse 44, right in the middle. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. That would have been the three divisions the Jews would have had for their Old Testament. That would have been the entire Old Testament. Concerning me. Then verse 45, he does it again. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That should be the goal of all of us when we read the Bible. Oh Lord, that prayer in Psalm, open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy word, out of thy law. Lord, help me. I don't want to just read it. Now that's not easy. You know, if you're reading daily, which I hope you are, you're reading a couple times a day, life's busy, you get into routines. I understand that, all right? I'm sure that's a battle everyone faces, but how to keep the Word of God fresh. Read the Scriptures looking for Christ. So the Lord, in a mild rebuke here, correcting, admonishing his disciples, opens the scriptures again to them and says, I already told you all of this. You should know this. But I'm going to go back and let you know it again, that all of this was prophesied. I told you this. This must happen. It did happen. And we understand they still struggled with it, even in Acts when he got ready to leave. And they thought, are you going to set up your kingdom now? No, not now. Not yet. It's a different kingdom. All right? And so the Lord is patient. And he's loving. And we know that they did. Like a lot of us, they were slow, they were sluggish, but boy, I tell you, they began to understand it. You read the book of Acts. They began to understand, and they began to do what God told them. And they did it with joy despite persecution. And you know what? We have different people in here, different stages of life in your walk with God. Some of you have been saved for years and years and years and years and years. You may not be spiritually mature, though. Others of you have been saved just recently. The Bible is very new for you. It doesn't make sense quite yet. The pieces are put together. Some of you may be weak in your faith because you really don't read the Bible much. Or you read the Bible, but you only read certain sections. Some of you never read the Old Testament. That would be like being a basketball player that all you do is offense. You no defense. Well, you're going to be limited. You're not going to be able to enjoy the full game. You're going to be a liability. You're holding yourself back. Offense is nice, but you need to be a complete player. So if you ignore the Old Testament, or you only read the Psalms, or you only read positive passages, or you always ignore ones that are difficult to understand, you've never entered into, perhaps in your mind, the wilderness of the minor prophets. Dare I go there? Other than just doing the quick reading to check off the box, which is great. Praise the Lord, you read through the Bible. But to go back and be like, wait a minute, if the entire Old Testament is really pointing to Christ, and Christ can be seen in really everything, especially each book, when we're studying Jonah on Wednesday nights, you've seen Christ in the book of Jonah? You think he's in the book of Haggai? You think that you can find him in Habakkuk? Ecclesiastes, the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the familiar books, not just the ones that are more of the story, Christ, the Lord Jesus, wow, all things concerning himself. So you say, well, okay, Pastor Boyer, so it says search the scriptures, so how do I understand these things? Well, obviously we understand that the Word of God is a living book, it's alive, it's powerful, it's God's Word, it's not like any other book. We also understand that if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. All right, by God. Wow. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, I don't understand this. Help me. All right, we can do that. We can do that before we even Google. I didn't mean that lovingly. God or Google. Now, don't take that wrong. But there's a lot of times we just go right to that. All right, I see what that means. Search the scriptures. The disciples didn't have eSword. We have a lot of resources. Those resources can be very good and helpful. They can also do great harm. They can make you lazy. Just like some of you, parents, you get all, oh, these kids, they don't know nothing. They can't do math in their head. Go to the store and they don't know. Come on. I mean, calculators are nice, but those are not, they're not a substitute for knowing math. All right, come on, GPS is great. Come on, you got to know directions. Right? And if we lost those things, we'd be like, I don't know how to get anywhere. And so we sometimes will say, well, you need to know stuff. But same thing can happen spiritually. You can get Strong's Concordance, the eSword, the Unger's Bible Dictionary. Those are all great. Nice study Bible, those are all great. They can make you really lazy. I mean, when he said search the scriptures, what did they have to go do? They had to dig in. No chapters or verses either back then. No red letter. This is called good old-fashioned hard work. No phone, which is nice. You can be on your phone, but a lot of people on that phone are on a lot of other things on their phone. They'll get mad if you talk about the phone, and phone is neutral. I understand that. and does a lot of great things, and praise God for people in other countries that maybe they don't have the Bible. They can use their, but we can get real lazy on searching the Scriptures. Good old-fashioned searching the Scriptures. Good old hard work and digging and finding things and knowing some things and getting in there and digging a little bit. And so the Holy Spirit is the illuminator. He's the great illuminator. I think most of you know what an illuminator is. Maybe you don't. So I've got some bulbs here. All right. Most of you understand these, right? You put in here, you got a floodlight, you got a little light here. This is what Noah used on the ark. We got that floodlight. All right, there you go. All right. That's a junior high Bible joke. All right. All light bulbs, even today, though, if you look at them close, it's a little bit harder. Got to look here. You know, most of us know about wattage. How many watts? 40 watts, 60 watt, 100 watt. But we don't realize it says lumens. And actually, lumens is the key to brightness. All right? Lumens is the key. Now, watts may be more electric use, but the lumens is the brightness of it. All right? So this light bulb here has 800 lumens. It says lumens. Now, the floodlight, obviously, this has 1,050. All right, you can look on those. They all say lumens. All right, so that word lumens is where we get the word illuminate. All right, hey, it's dark in here. Turn some lights on. Turn more lights on. Turn all the lights on. All right, wow, that's really bright. I can see a lot better. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the illuminator of the Scriptures. So if I'm a believer, I have the Holy Spirit permanently indwells me. I have the living Word of God. I need to have hard work and diligence and self-discipline to study the Scriptures, avoid distractions, be careful. And as I study the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God. Go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You're going to go back to the book of Psalms, about the middle of your Bible. Go to Psalm 119. Now, Ben knows all about that. He's the electrician. You talk to him, right? He knows that. Watts, all right? Watts has energy use. Oh, you know, high wattage. That's why we have new light bulbs and things. And your lumens, though, have to do with your light output, brightness. You can read the Bible and not get a lot out of it. It's not because the Bible's not powerful. It's alive. It's not because the Holy Spirit doesn't know what he's doing. It could be your slow of heart. It could be that you spend lots of time and have all this stuff runs through the mind. Could be carnal, could be worldly, could be wicked, could be good, could not be bad. I mean, you know, 3-hour movie, five-minute Bible reading. What do you think you're going to think about all day? What do you think you're going to think about? 5 minutes in the Bible and 3-hour movie. What do you think is going to be in your mind all day? I mean, I don't think it's that hard. All right? I mean, there's nothing wrong watching, you know, 10 hours of World Cup, 10 hours of all the football playoffs yesterday. There's nothing wrong with that. 10-minute devotion? What do you think is going to be running through your mind in church this morning? I mean, I don't think it's that hard. Input equals output. I mean, we can't expect to just do casual reading of the Bible and then our lives, wonder why our lives aren't transformed. Wonder why I battle this. Wonder why my thought life is so, well, know the Scriptures. What is Psalm 119? You should be there by now. I need to get there. Psalm 119, how about verse 9? Many of you probably memorized this. Wherewithal, we could just say that's the word how. Wherewithal shall a young man or a young person cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The idea there, and I like to apply that. I think that verse can mean apply that to a lot of times. I usually preach to teens about their thought life, right? It's not just teens that struggle with their thoughts. But a lot of times we do, and even adults, right? Adults, if you're brutally honest in here. Many of you would say, I still struggle with my thought life. I still battle things that I put in my mind when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. I'm 40, 50, 60. I don't tell anybody this, though. I ask every day, oh, my word, my mind is a cesspool. I'm saved, but, well, you may not understand the scriptural truth here. How can a young man, how can a person cleanse his way, cleanse his mind? You've got to run your mind through the washing machine of the Bible. You got to put that dirty, soiled T-shirt you got to put that in the wash machine, and you got to run it again and again and again and again and again until you get all that out of there. You can't just do it casually. You have to apply proper soap and detergent. You've got to take the Word of God with the Holy Spirit and run your mind through the Scriptures to the point to where the Scriptures dominate your thinking. The Scriptures dominate your thinking. not anything else. Now that just takes hard work and time. There is no substitute for that. You cannot do it any other way. Many maybe just have this on the fridge, but that's all it's on. We have 1 month left in the year. Our theme introduced back in January. And now here we are 11 months later, and you might be like, I haven't even really grown in the Lord. In fact, I may have gone backwards. Remember, desire to grow. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It's not that the Word is not sufficient. The Word is sufficient. The Holy Spirit is sufficient. We have the means. But it's easy to not read or read casually or not search the Scriptures. You're in Psalm 119. Go to verse 18. Look at Psalm 119, verse 18. Open, there's where we get this prayer. I hope we pray this when we read the Bible. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When's the last time you could honestly say, I saw something wondrous out of the Bible? When's the last time you could say that through personal reading, not through someone preaching? And praise the Lord for preachers and evangelists, and I hope I open the Bible to you. But if that's the only time you're seeing wondrous things, it shouldn't be that way. You should be personally in the Word of God. When's the last time I've got praise testimony in Sunday school? Well, God just, I saw this, I never saw this, this is incredible. Open thou mine eyes, I may behold wondrous things. Look at a little bit later in Psalm 119. Of course, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and really every verse talks about the Scriptures. Every verse is about the Bible. It has different words for it: law, judgment, precepts. Many of you know this verse. I hope you know it. Psalm 119, 130. Psalm 119, 130. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words. We could substitute thy words for the Scriptures. The entrance of the Bible, the entrance of the Word of God, giveth light. Lumens. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You might say, well, right now I'm a simple-minded believer. I lack a lot of Bible knowledge. Guess what? The Word of God. When the Word of God enters in, and not just in our mind, like, oh, I read my Bible today. No, when the entrance of the Word of God truly enters into our minds and our hearts to where we think about it and we change our actions, whoa, that's light. It gives understanding into the simple, and that's why, what's the universal symbol for, I got it, whether it's in the cartoons or not? The light bulb, right? I mean, they have a little bloop, bloop, and there's a light bulb. Eureka, I got it. The light bulb, what does that mean? The light went off. Illumines. Oh, I can't believe it. That's the Bible. When the Bible with the Scriptures is opened to us by God's Spirit, it brightens and we have a biblical understanding of what God wants us to do. All right? I think we have time for one passage left here. Go to 1 Corinthians. We're jumping around a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Didn't get quite as far as I wanted today, but next week we're going to be jumping into some warnings. When we read and study and search the Scriptures, though, there's several things we've got to be careful not to do. And the Bible points out to that. We've got to be careful when reading the Bible. Please don't think that you just read the Bible and study the Bible and search the Scriptures and it just, whoop, there's some tendencies that we can do because we're sinners. And we still have a sin, you know, our minds are still sin-cursed, or though we have the Holy Spirit living in us, the believers, our heart is deceitful above all things. It's easy to twist the Scriptures, take things out of context, apply them to things that were our little pet things. You know, we'll be dealing with that over the next week or two. Looking at some warnings when studying the Bible, making sure we understand. We'll talk about hermeneutics. Herman, who's that? Hermeneutics. All right. Properly interpreting the Bible to make sure we're not. Many people have taken Scriptures, right, over the centuries and used it for stuff. Hitler. People to justify slavery, people to justify crusades, religion, cults, false teachings. I mean, you can take the Bible and apply it to about anything. So we have to be careful. There are warnings in the Scriptures that you and I that study the Scriptures and teach, whoa, we better be careful. Please don't think that, no, I would never do that. And we'll be looking at that over the next few weeks. We'll be taking a look at some commonly misused scriptures. Now, I'll get to that next week. All right. We got one last. We got to finish with 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. You'll see the person we're speaking about here. Actually, we'll be looking at this. I'm in 2 Corinthians. I apologize. We'll be looking at some of this maybe in this morning's message. 1 Corinthians 2. Notice verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us believers by His Spirit. For the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we, believers, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That here, that really has the truth of the Spirit's role of illuminating the Scriptures. That's why it says down in verse 14, but the natural man just referring to who? Unsaved, the lost man. Lost relatives. But the natural man, someone without God, without the Holy Spirit, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's impossible for an unbeliever to truly understand the truths of the Bible. Now, there are many unbelievers who study the Bible. There are many people who read it. There are divinity schools. Professors of divinity are lost people who can be eloquent about the Bible. They don't even understand it. It's impossible. You can't do it. Why? Because verse 13. And we'll finish with this. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit is the flashlight, the illuminator, the revealer of the truths of the Word of God to God's people. Without the Holy Spirit, you will never really have true understanding of the Word of God. Can't be done. And so by reading the Scriptures diligently, asking God to open our eyes, searching and using the Holy Spirit, who is the illuminator, the things of the Bible, especially those deep things, can become known to us. But then we can also miss the main truth. I can learn lots of facts. I know lots more than I did last year. Well, what are you doing with those? That's the warning. What are you doing with the things that you've learned? Do you know God more? Has it caused you to share the gospel more? Or is it causing you to be a more compassionate servant? Do you see the world as God sees it? I mean, or has it not really changed you? See, there's the warning. You can learn lots and have lots more facts, but it not change you if you're not careful. So we'll end there today.